We'd like to greet each of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we turn to Matthew chapter 11 there, verses 28 to 30, we see the call to cast our burdens upon Him. And I don't want to take anything from what Dwayne will say, but we each carry things every day. We may even carry things here this morning. Anxiety, worries, cares. What's going to happen? There's a lot of things that we carry with us as we go about our daily activity, daily routine. And we can get weighed down. We can get burdened down. And the call here is to give those burdens to Jesus. He said, I will take them and give you rest. I had to think of the song we sang there, 41. And it talks about Jesus in the garden. He carried the burden to Calvary. As Jesus took our sin upon Him, became a burden to Him. Sometimes I think the struggle is being able to give up that burden. As Jesus was there in the garden, we see Him crying out to the Father to take that away. And I believe Jesus there gave it to God, turned that burden over to God, and it's when He submitted His will to the will of the Father. And I think many times, and not in that strong of a sense, but many times it's hard for us to give that burden up sometimes. We want to be able to handle it on our own. We want to be able to take it ourselves. But the call is to give our burden to Jesus. Reading from Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and then 1 Peter 5. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. 1 Peter 5. 5-7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. With these words, those who are able, let's kneel as we pray.
Thank Brother Dustin for his prayer, and thank you for praying as well. And your thoughts, Brother Dustin, I think the Lord directed you that way. They coincide with thoughts of the morning. The title of the message is Rest for the Heavy Burdened. James Cash Penny, coming from a long line of Baptist preachers, grew up with deep convictions. He was unwaveringly honest. He never smoked or drank, and he was a hard worker. But in 1929, when the Great Depression hit, Penny found himself in crisis. He had made unwise commitments, and they turned sour. Penny began to worry. He began to worry about them, and soon he was unable to sleep. He developed a painful case of shingles and was hospitalized. His anxiety only increased in the hospital, and it seemed resistant to tranquilizers and drugs. His mental state deteriorated until, as he later said, I was broken nervously and physically, filled with despair, unable to see even a ray of hope. I had nothing to live for. I felt I hadn't a friend left in the world, that even my family turned against me. And one night he was so oppressed, he didn't think his heart would hold out, and expecting to die before morning, he sat down and wrote farewell letters to his wife and sons. J.C. Penney was carrying quite a heavy burden, a load in his life. He was so worn down physically and mentally that he thought he was on the verge of death. He was oppressed and held captive by a great heavy burden. And I'm wondering this morning if there's something that's wearing us down that we're carrying, perhaps so private that no one else knows about it, but we know it's there. Is there a burden that we need to get rid of in our lives? Is it holding us captive and causing oppression? It can cause a sense of hopelessness and despair. It will affect our spiritual vitality. And sometimes, it will affect us emotionally and sometimes even physically. It can be a type of bondage. But there is one who understands our deepest issues and he wants to help us. Luke 4:18, Jesus is speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Jesus came to earth to heal the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance, freedom to the captives, and to set at liberty or give freedom to the oppressed. Psalm 147:3 says, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Is there a burden that you or I are carrying that we wouldn't need to? Let's consider some burdens this morning that we could possibly be carrying, and we won't go through them all, obviously. There's plenty of burdens, but I want to focus on probably four here this morning. Well, perhaps like J.C. Penney was, what he was at one time, perhaps this morning we're carrying the burden of worry. This problem of worrying about things, about people, about circumstances, whatever it is that we may worry about, can grip us so strongly and weigh so heavily on us that it affects our lives in other ways. You know, there's a problem in America that is rapidly increasing and worsening. It's the problem of not being able to sleep. Now, I understand as we get older and I've reached that age, I don't sleep like I used to sleep, not as well. But that's not the issue for everybody. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about not being able to sleep because of worrying. And a lot of the reason why people in America and maybe amongst us that we can't sleep as well is at the feet of worry. And I can speak from my own experience that there have been times that I couldn't sleep because I was thinking of one thing after the other. And you know what? It became worrying. Nighttime, it seems, in the quietness of lying in bed is an opportune time for thoughts to enter our minds and soon turn into worry because we choose not to handle those thoughts in a proper way. It can be a vicious cycle. Worry causes us to lose sleep, and then less sleep can lead to more worry. Not only can worry cause us to lose sleep, but it can affect us emotionally or physically as well. And even more serious is that worry is really a lack of faith and trust in God. No matter how we want to cut it, as we say, or how we want to explain it, when I'm worrying, it's a lack of faith and trust in God. God knows that worry is harmful to us. That's why he says in Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing." And that means to not be anxious about anything. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, anxious is another word for worry. So don't worry about anything is what God is saying to us. God's commands are always for our good. We may not always think that, but they are. They're always for our good. That's his purpose. And I wonder, and I ask myself, and I ask you this morning, do we see this as a command? Don't worry about anything. Do we make it important as a command should be? Do we purpose to obey it? And I get it. It's hard sometimes, and I've failed, and I still do at times. Yet, I think we'd agree that to disobey a command of God, you really can't say it any other way than that it is a sin. And worrying on top of that is a heavy burden for us to try to carry. You know, not worrying doesn't mean that we won't be afraid, that we won't tremble, but it does mean that we place our faith and our trust in God to handle the situation, the burden of worry. A second burden that we may carry is the burden of spiritual failure. This heavy burden consists of struggling with forgiving ourselves of sins, past failures, past sins that we're struggling to get past. Can't get past the past. And this burden is so heavy and difficult to carry. It can be so oppressive, stealing away our spiritual energy, our joy, our peace, and our spiritual strength. It can bring a sense of hopelessness. The Bible's very clear that when we confess sin and repent, God lovingly forgives us. Psalm 103:12 is an amazing verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. From God's perspective, when we confess, repent of our sins, they're gone. Yet somehow they're still very close to us. We can't seem to get away from them. You know, north and south, they do meet because of the poles. But east and west never meet. It's an immeasurable distance. And that verse is saying that God has thrown them so far, you can't even measure it. He has put them away. It's total removal of the sin. But with us, the sin lingers. Hebrews 12 speaks of the new covenant through Christ. It says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." When God forgives our sins, they are never remembered by Him again. Jeremiah 31:34, again referencing the new covenant of Christ. The Lord speaking says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." God doesn't define us by our forgiven sins. He doesn't define us by our forgiven sins, yet we allow those same sins to define us, to rob us, by carrying them around and burning us down. I think the words of this song that was written, called "Your Worst Mistake," I think they're so powerful. It says, "David was a man after God's own heart, but I read about the baggage that he had. And Jacob was a liar, and Peter a denier. But just like then, you don't have to live chained to your past." God will not define you by your worst mistake. He looks at you with mercy. He sees you through His grace. There's no sin so dark the blood of Jesus can't erase. God will not define you by your worst mistake. I realize there's a sin, the unpardonable sin. But I think you understand what that's saying. That there's no sin so dark the blood of Jesus can't erase. Now everybody here has a story they could tell. A pain they caused, and secrets they regret. But when we take them to Him, there's redemption through Him, and I believe the word, when He forgives us, He forgets. God will not define you by your worst mistakes. You know, David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Peter denied the Lord three times, and he said, "I don't know the man." And Abraham was a deceiver. Jacob was a deceiver. Yet God did not define them by what we could say was their worst mistake. He doesn't define you or me by our worst sin either. You know, other people might. Sometimes people can't forget what we've done. But the good news is that God doesn't define us by our worst mistake or our worst sin. The burden of spiritual failure is a terrible heavy load we don't have to carry. Well, the third burden that we would be might be carrying is the burden of bitterness. Bitterness can overtake us, perhaps even subtly. There are different reasons why we can become bitter or why we do. Number one, maybe it's wrong motives or envy. Someone's more popular than me. Someone's getting more credit than I get. Someone's getting credit that I should have gotten. Someone's more wealthy or seemingly more successful. Sometimes that can cause us to be bitter. A second reason we become bitter is wrong responses to irritations in a relationship. A lack of unconditional love can even happen in a marriage. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against them." Wrong responses to irritations in a relationship, a lack of unconditional love. The third reason we can become bitter, bitterness can occur by having a wrong response to what God allows in our lives. Why is God putting me through this? Why me? We can become bitter. Fourthly, perhaps the number one reason that we become bitter is an unforgiving spirit. Failure to forgive others. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, and it makes the connection between bitterness and failing to forgive. Now, these are familiar verses, but let's catch the connection. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, doing what? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What happens? We dwell on something that someone did or didn't do, and we can't let it go. It can be from a distant past, or it can be very recent. There are hurts in life that sometimes happen to us. That's real. There are hurts. And you know what? Sometimes we cause them. Sometimes we receive them. And they can be very painful. There's no denying it. And sometimes we may think that we're justified to not forgive someone and to hold a grudge. But you know what? Ephesians 4:32 blows that thinking right out of the water, as we say. Because it's such a familiar verse that perhaps we truly miss what it's saying. It's such an important message that we can't escape. We are to forgive others on the basis of how God has forgiven us. That shines an extremely powerful, convicting light on our hearts if we choose not to forgive someone. And the result of not forgiving is not only hurtful to us, but to others as well. Hebrews 12:15, we know this verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness is a deadly poison. You know, I know some people like snakes. I'll still love you. But I know that's true. Or I'll try to love you. And some people say that certain snakes are good because they do this and this. Doesn't change my thinking. I think it's accurate to say that I hate snakes with a passion. And I live by the belief that the only good snake's a dead one. And I act on that if I have the opportunity. And I'm always glad I don't. There are varied views as to which snake is the deadliest. Some may possibly say the black mamba. I can't, you know, I looked this up before. I can't even stand to see them. I hate to see the pictures. The inland taipan, the death adder, the saw-scaled viper, or maybe the king cobra. Probably could name some others. You know, I believe we would all be scared to death, as we say, of any of them. As we should be. But you know what? We ought to be scared to death of the poison of bitterness. It has such negative impact that it can affect our things like our blood pressure, our heart health, or our immune system. It can lead to depression, be harmful to relationships, but not only can bitterness hurt us physically and emotionally, most importantly, it hurts us spiritually, and it can hurt others spiritually. Such a heavy burden, bitterness. We have a choice. We can hang on to our anger, our resentment, our envy, our pride, and unforgiveness, or we can lay them all aside at Jesus' feet and go forward in freedom. A fourth and final burden that we could be carrying is the burden of weariness and loneliness. This burden may be more prevalent than we realize. Sometimes in the midst of living life, we can get weary. We get exhausted, weak, and tired physically, emotionally, and maybe even spiritually. Can be problems that we face and situations we are in and spiritual battles that we deal with maybe day after day. We can get weary even of doing good. The Bible acknowledges that this can happen and does happen to us. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. That implies that it can happen, right? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Then Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, meaning it can happen, and they shall walk and not faint. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Depending on what all is going on in one's life, weariness is a very real and heavy burden. For some people, the burden of weariness is in the form of, or has at its core, loneliness. Loneliness is also a very heavy burden to carry. For this burden in particular, there is a part that we can play to help someone carrying this burden. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can help someone bear their burden of loneliness. It was grandfather's birthday. He was 79. He got up early, shaved, showered, combed his hair, put on his Sunday best so he would look nice when they came. He skipped his daily walk to the town cafe where he had coffee with his cronies. He wanted to be home when they came. He put his porch chair on the sidewalk so he could get a better view of the street when they drove up to help celebrate his birthday. At noon, he got tired but decided to forego his nap so he could be there when they came. Most of the rest of the afternoon, he spent near the telephone so he could answer it when they called. He has 5 married children, 13 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. One son and daughter live within 10 miles of his place. They hadn't visited him for a long time. But today was his birthday, and they were sure to come. At supper time, he left a cake untouched so they could cut it and have dessert with him. After supper, he sat on the porch waiting. At 8:30, he went to his room to prepare for bed. Before retiring, he left a note on the door which read, "Be sure to wake me up when they come." It was grandfather's birthday. He was 79. What can we do? What should we do to help people who are carrying this burden of loneliness? There are people in this congregation who need to hear from us, including me. They need to hear from us, whether it's a phone call, even a simple text message, if they receive text messages, and especially would appreciate a visit. What about our families? Our parents, if they're living. Make it important to visit them. Make it important for your children to visit their grandparents. It's important to be the church, to share in others' burdens this way. Weariness and loneliness is a really heavy burden that people carry. Are we carrying any of these burdens today? Worry, spiritual failure, bitterness, unforgiveness, or weariness, loneliness? Remember J.C. Penney, his story that we referenced at the beginning. He didn't think that he would live through the night due to anxiety and oppression. But he did live through the night, as obviously. And the next morning, he heard singing coming from the little hospital chapel. The words of the song said, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." Entering the chapel, he listened to the song, to the scripture reading, and to the prayer. And suddenly something happened. He said, "I can't explain it. I can only call it a miracle. I felt as if I had been instantly lifted out of the darkness of a dungeon into warm, brilliant sunshine or sunlight." All the worry left him as he realized more fully than he had ever imagined just how much the Lord Jesus Christ cared for him. From that day, J.C. Penney was never plagued with worry. And he later called those moments in the chapel the most dramatic and glorious 20 minutes of my life. Today, there's one who understands. There's one who understands our deepest issues. He knows where we're at, knowing full people. I told the students this yesterday, I think, or not yesterday, but Friday. I can come to school every day and I can fool you by who I am. If I choose to, I could fool them. But God knows. He knows the heart. He knows my innermost being. It's the same with these burdens. God knows they're there. We know. But God knows the burdens we carry. And enter Jesus. Enter Jesus. He's a friend to the lonely and the weary. He's a lover of all who have failed spiritually. He's a peace giver to the worried. He's a healer of the bitter, a forgiver of the unforgiver. In Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." That means to feel fatigue and are bewearied. You know, these burdens are going to make us feel that way. He says, or heavy laden, or loaded up, or burdened, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest implies to be refreshed. Jeremiah 31:25, for I have satiated, or I will satisfy the weary soul, and I replenished every sorrowful soul. Jesus says in verses 29 and then to 30, come unto me, all ye that labor, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yoke means a coupling, has the idea of joining together. Jesus says, take my yoke, connect with me, join with me, and let me give rest. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That word easy means useful and better and good and kind and gracious. His yoke is that. It's not a heavy burden. When we take Jesus' yoke upon us, when we connect with him, he gives rest, he refreshes, and he replenishes life. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God doesn't want us carrying these heavy burdens. Anxiety, spiritual failure, bitterness, unforgiveness, weariness, loneliness. He knows we can't handle them. Taking Jesus' yoke upon us also involves doing something else, to exchange our heavy burdens for Jesus' light burden. And I believe that's 1 Peter 5:5-7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When we have humbled ourselves, and that's so important that we don't miss it, and Brother Dustin alluded to it, that we have to get to the place where we're willing to get rid of it. We can't handle it anymore. And that's a pride issue. So we have to humble ourselves. And when we get to that place and we say we can't handle it and go to Jesus for rest, taking his yoke upon us means we must cast all our cares, our burdens on him. We're not to keep part of the care. Well, you know what? Lord, I can handle this much. I'm going to give you the rest. He says, cast all our cares, our burdens. Give them to Jesus. We are to cast them on him. Cast means to throw upon. It means we remove it from ourselves. It's like if I were to take my coat off and throw it on someone else. That's the idea of cast. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Remove it from yourself and cast it on him. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In casting our burdens on Jesus, it shows humility on our part. We're saying, we'll trust you, Jesus, entirely with this burden. Jesus says, come to me. You who are heavy burden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you a lighter burden in place of your heavy burdens. Just take my yoke upon you and cast all your heavy burdens on me. Why? The amazing part, he cares for me, cares for you. You have a burden you don't need to carry? Do I? You know, if you're lost this morning here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're carrying the burden of your sins. That's the heaviest of all, the heaviest of all burdens. And Jesus wants to, but maybe it's, you know, you're saved. And we know that we carry burdens sometimes. Burdens we wouldn't have to. Jesus wants to bring healing to us for the heavy burdens we sometimes carry and the hurt that they bring us and possibly others. It is very true that either we will carry our cares and burdens or the Lord Jesus will. Someone wrote this, and I think it applies and it reaches right where we're trying to get to this morning. We've all been wounded deep inside. We all have things that we try to hide. It's a heavy load you have to bear, and you wonder if God even cares. Yeah, I've been there. There's one thing I know for sure. For every hurt, there is a cure. If your soul's been suffering from the pain and you can't go on another day, this is the right time. This is the right place. This is where healing happens. This is where love steps in. Leave the past behind to find what really matters. This is where healing happens. So lay it down and leave it there. Your every burden, every care. Let the blood of Jesus wash away every mark of sin that left a stain. It's time to let it go. It's time to make a change. This is the right time, the right place. Time to let it go. Time to make a change. This is where healing happens, at the feet of Jesus. It's where love steps in. Leave the past behind to find what really, really matters. This is where healing happens. We need to humble ourselves, cry out to Jesus. I don't know how to say it any more than that. It's simply doing that in my own life, crying out to Jesus. Humble myself and say, I need you. This is what I need. This is what I can handle. Take it. He'll hear. He wants our burdens because he cares. If you want to talk to someone, see one of the ministers after the service. We'll listen. We'll pray with you. We'll try to help you. But you can go to Jesus in the privacy of your own heart and your own setting, wherever that is. And you cry out to him with your burden. He's still in the business of taking burdens and freeing people.
As we pray, we're going to use Dwayne's four-point outline. I think what we'll do, we're going to go through this, and after we mention each one, we're going to pause just to give you time to name the areas you're struggling with, the burdens you carry. So we're going to pause. So, for example, when I say we give to you our worry and anxiety, and pause, that's for you just to mentally pray to God what your worries and anxieties are and present them to him. Let's stand for prayer.